Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agent of IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I'm sorry. That is, I seek protection with Allah from shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. That is, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM Radio listening audience, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your host, Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my honor and my pleasure to serve as tonight's co-producer, co-engineer, and co-host. Dear listeners, this is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you have tuned in to a program focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's, don'ts, and prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. Now, while we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to do us a small favor, and that is share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM Radio. And to do that, all that you need to do is send a text or make a post on social media. Invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, further ado, it is my honor and my pleasure to present my co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And Quran and I would like to welcome our audience tonight, and especially those who the first time listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Quran has already said to you that if, in fact, you listen by way of the Internet and you like to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We do invite you to ask questions, make comments. And I think tonight you'll need a notebook pad and some things, noteworthy things that will be said tonight. You might want to take note, and you might want to jot those down. For those who haven't listened in for some time, or what, maybe the first time, we're doing two things here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab for the last 2 months. We're entertaining what is the True Love Recipe. I call it True Love Recipe, my own personal True Love Recipe. But also, Karan and I have invited some outstanding couples that have been married for many, many, many years and have exemplified the type of marriage that Almighty God, Allah, would want us to have. And we've also had some young couples, one being still in high school, the W. Dean Muhammad High School there in Atlanta, Georgia, and also one after a year finishing the W. Dean Muhammad High School, got married and still married. So this is designed to inspire and to motivate those who perhaps have not been married or been married and maybe saw our own marriage or on the fence. And so we've had some outstanding couples. We want you to know real quickly that this Courtship and Marriage has a foundation, and we utilize three sources for disseminating information and education. The first is Al-Quran. That is the final revelation for all of humanity. And also another source that we use is the life example of the prophet Ian living the Quran. And the third source is the tafsir, that is the clear explanation by scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Waithuddin Muhammad. So with no further ado, I do want to inform those that we will be keying on what I call K3. It's a little addendum to that. I don't know if I gave it last week or not. I forgot to give it. But we'll be looking at K1, which is kindness, and K2 is actually a dual in terms of keeping Allah's word at the forefront, keeping your word, and three or four, however you want to term it, will be kissing. So we hopefully will be able to get that into tonight, inshallah, God willing, from our very, very special guest tonight. So we're going to have, as always, a little overview from last week as we had an outstanding couple, a good brother and friend, Imam Dr. J. Abdul and Connie Nuruddin. And for that, we go back to our host, Karan Shakir. Assalamu alaikum, Karan.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. It's always good to hear your voice. And as a part of our tradition, yes. We are going to give just a brief overview of last week's program, just to get everybody caught up. As you know, Brother Mark said, we are looking at the True Love Recipe. And last week, we looked at J2, which was Just and Joy. And we had as our wonderful guest, Imam Dr. Abdel and his wife, Connie Nuruddin, who have been married 49 years. They're celebrating 49 years of marriage. I call that half a century. Even if it's 1 year off, it is half a century. And I say it was an interesting story that they shared with us. As first of all, Sister Connie shared that she was the third in a family of seven children, and she grew up in a small town outside of Buffalo, New York. She joined the Nation of Islam in 1967, and she has been in the community in various masajids. Imam Nuruddin, Abdul Nuruddin, shared that he was a city boy and that he came up in Buffalo, which was not far from where Sister Connie grew up. He was born in the late 40s, and he gave the story of how many had migrated from the South and heard of the Great Migration to the North to work in steel plants. And now both of them live in Greensboro, North Carolina, as husband and wife, and they've been there for 30 years. He said that he came from a family where he had three brothers and three sisters, and he was the second in a family of seven. So both of them come from a family of seven. She was the third, and he was the second. Abdul Nuruddin said that he grew up in the streets. And so when he came to the community in 1972, which is about 5 years after Sister Connie, then he came up to sort of get civilized because he came up in the streets. And when they talked about their relationship itself, it was interesting. They had worked together. You know, our dear Prophet, peace be upon him, said that when you wanted to get to know someone, work with them. That's one of the ways to get to know someone. So they had worked together in the Nation of Islam, and she was a recent divorcee, and he reached out to her to express an interest in her through the captain, which was a process that was used in the Nation of Islam for someone to express interest in someone. You didn't go straight to that person. You went to their superior, someone who was in charge of them, and in that case, it was the captain. And that's how that relationship actually developed more into that, getting into the idea of marriage. And he said that what he really loved about her is that she impressed him because she was clean, she was disciplined, and she had a good life, which is very different from what he had come from. And he thought that he had hit the jackpot with her, and he could see that she was the type of woman that he needed in her life. And she said that she was interested in him because he had a vision and he could see towards the future, and he talked excited about a great future ahead of them, and all of that was impressive to them. They talked for about 7 to 8 months before they decided to get married, and they spent that time working on the legal matters from her previous marriage so that they can go into that marriage with no baggage of that other relationship in front of them. I thought it was also interesting that he said that he had a good relationship with her former husband, and that that was important to them because that was the father of her daughter, who he also embraced as his own. And all of that, that blended family and all of that they worked on, I think is very important for us to think about when we look at courtship and we look at marriage. And we're talking about now here are two people who have formed 49 years together. And they had some important conversations in those 7 to 8 months because they thought that it was important to put all the cards on the table and have those important discussions. So when we start looking at courtship, courting and finding a mate, then it's important to have valuable conversations that are designed to look toward the future. And that's what they were looking at. And she said, it is important for you to know what you want and what you're looking for, and look at what happened in the situation that the person has experienced, especially if you are coming out of a previous relationship. And that's what both of them said, because he also had been married before. And they said that when you do, look at what happened in that situation so that it would never be repeated again. And then you move toward a new relationship and be willing to put that experience in its true perspective so it doesn't have power on the new relationship. You start fresh with an open mind and be willing to have conversations so that you understand each other and how you've grown from that, what you learned from that, and what caused you to do some of the things you did in your relationship. And don't be afraid to start a new relationship. And that lack of fear means that you're not bringing those past experiences and equating activities of the past with the current. Let it play out in its own way. I thought those were some valuable lessons that they shared, and there's a lot more that they shared. But I just want to say regarding J2, just and fairness, the message that they said is that if it is not fair in that relationship, if it cannot be true love, if there is no fairness, there are things you have to work for, and it doesn't just happen in a relationship. So really, you have to be sincere from your soul, and that takes time. And you won't have the joy if you don't have the fairness in the relationship, if you don't have sincerity in the relationship, if you don't have honor in the relationship, you're not going to have joy in the relationship. So if you can't live up to being just, then what do you have, was their question. And then we asked, you know, how much of this do you think is needed? How much joy do you think is needed in a relationship? And a full cup is needed is what one of them said, and said the whole life should be focused on joy and happiness. And the best things that life has to offer is your own life itself. And there is no greater sense of gratitude that you can have than that inside of your relationship. And gratitude leads toward the joy. Gratitude connects us to the power. So last message that they left, and I thought it was important, was keep up your, because Allah will guide you. When you've got prayer, there is an answer in that prayer. So no matter what goes on in that relationship, there's an answer in that prayer. Mark You know there was a lot more that they discussed, so I'm going to say to our listening audience, go back and get the link so that you can look in the archives and listen to the whole program, because there were so many jewels inside of that program. I turn it back over to you, Mark.
Yes, I want to say alhamdulillah. I know we have people on that are not Muslims. That just simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And as you just heard, that White Quran is one of the best in terms of giving overviews. She really highlighted a lot of things that were said and echoed the same thing. So please go back into the archives and retrieve that production in its entirety. With no further ado, I want to just say tonight and we have promoted it very well. Just want to just say that our beloved sister Shuaib, she won't be with us. She wasn't feeling really up to it tonight. But our beloved Imam, you know, one of our scholarly imams, and I always refer to him as the forerunner in promoting healthy male-female relationships. He's been doing it for a long time. I remember just back in the 80s he was doing that. And so his lovely wife, Yolanda, will not be with him. And hopefully you still won't be disappointed tonight, because he's very, very capable of giving this marriage narrative and all. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings to our special honored guest tonight, Imam Fahim Shuaib. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib.
Let me ask the Imam Shuaib, would you please push 1 on your phone so that I can see you? We have a lot of people in the queue tonight. So if you push 1, I can find you. There we go.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, Imam Fahim Shuaib.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm used to being on the other end, so
Well, we know that. Our good brother Rafi Muhammad, I have to say this, when you said that often he was a confidant,
a
comrade. Oh, yeah. You know, I saw him last year at the DNA, and we were sitting down and having a laugh. I always remind him when I see him, I said, you know, Imam Muhammad put you up to introduce him, and he didn't like the microphone, but Imam Muhammad wanted him to introduce him, and he said, boy, it ain't no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. It's just me on the other side. So when you said that, well, it's an honor, Brother Imam Fahim Shuaib, to have you, and ideally love to have had Yolanda with you. But I think that you'll be able to handle this and everything. So we're gonna maximize the minimum, which is always time, and get right to it. As you heard, Brother Imam, this is designed to be inspirational and motivational, as exemplary of the type of marriages that you and Yolanda have experienced. And by the way, congratulations on your 51st wedding anniversary on July 31st. You just celebrated that most recently. So we want to congratulate you on that. And so what we'd like to start with, I'm going to start doing the questioning, and then Quran is going to chime in, and then we're going to have our audience to chime in, and depending on how much time you have, we do have something special that somebody's going to be calling in, so hopefully you can stick around for that if we get to at least one of the K's in the True Love Recipe. So, Brother Imam, Imam Fahim Shuaib, you always have an Imam Fahim Shuaib, but, you know, so you had a beginning, and so what we'd like to know first and foremost, give us a little something in terms of your background, and if you will, a little something in terms of Yolanda's background, and then we'll move to how you first met, if you would, please. And once again, welcome to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, it's an honor to be here. Alhamdulillah, and as you know, and as all would agree, She and I are one spirit, but not one experience. She has her own experience, but I will dare to say what in reply to your questions seem appropriate. From my perspective of her life, but then she will in the future, if need be, give the corrections wherever they might require. But for me,
you're a wise man, buddy, ma'am.
I'm 51 years of experience, right?
Alhamdulillah.
I was born in Denison, Texas, and there's claims of fame there, but I'll leave them out. I was born in Denison, Texas in 1951, and Yolanda was born in Oakland in 1952. And so in describing my life, I believe it's precocious. I was a precocious child in that sense. And I was smart. It's no boast, but it's like I was, that's kind of been my tag ever since I've had conversations with teachers and the like. Yolanda, she went to school, of course, in Oakland, but we matriculated in different schools. We didn't go to the same elementary school. We didn't go to the same junior high school. We did go to the same high school, and that's really where the magic happened, if you will. But essentially, she was like polar. Opposite, almost like what I heard in part from what you're saying about Connie and Dr. Nuruddin, that he said he was growing up in the street. I was attracted to the streets, and I had a life there in the streets, but I was too good to be too bad, right? And my mother. It's a very important comment there, but my mother would tell me, boy, you always operate just on this side of the law, right? So, you know, when I went to high school, in a school called Skyline, or it was named Skyline High School, which was up on the hill. They had an open enrollment. They let you out there in St. Louis, very familiar with the whole separate but equal thing, or is it Plessy versus Ferguson, the more important thing? Any case, the idea is that they had open enrollment, so I went to school from the hood up onto the hill, right? And so I brought the hood with me to the hill. There was a long bus ride where I was at the end of the urban earth, if you will, to go up, and it was literally called Mount Olympus, to Skyline High School. Its mascot was the Titan. And so when I got on the bus going to high school, I was the one with the cussing and the smoking and the gambling and all that was me. Now, that bus had to, it was also the same bus that Yolanda would get picked up on going up there. So, and I was just that loudmouth dude, and I hadn't noticed her for a while, but then there was that one day. In high school. Now she was she's very athletic. She's very athletic. She played softball on her team. She was very, very much athletic. I was not the athlete, but I did become the mascot for the high school. So at any point, she just knew that she didn't want to have anything to do with me from the beginning. Then one day, I saw getting on the bus, and I was really struck, overtaken, overwhelmed, starstruck, right? It's like her beauty, all the rest of that. I could go on for a long time on that. but let me tell you what, I'll tell you one thing that I'm cut out of that, and you can ask me whatever you want to ask after that, is that when I did become conscious of her in that moment, I'm actually, wallahi, I'm seeing it right now. She had an auburn pastiche on. Some of the women can tell you what that is if you don't know. She had an auburn pastiche, and I could see the almond color in her eye. She had the sun, the way the time that the sun set in the afternoon, it was, the sun was like right behind her head. So I was saying, yeah, I really got God in that moment. And so I'm saying, you know, this one's going to be mine, right? So I'm asking for her a number, right? I'm asking for her a number.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a pencil. I said, nah, I ain't got a pencil. I don't need a pencil. Just what's your number, right? And so she told me number, thinking that, you know, I'm not going to remember it, right? I remember that number to this day. And the only one that ever got me to write poetry was Yolanda. I mean, I never wrote poetry for nothing else, wisdom or nothing, just to her. And I had, don't ask me to say it because I don't remember what that was, but I remember the number 5624039, but I had made a poem. I made a poem with all the numbers and her phone number in it, and I gave her that. So that's how I was sometimes flexing. But it was also what saved me, which is another issue. But let me go ahead and cut out right there. She was very diligent. We met in Miss typing class. I mean, I can type today. Probably had a lot to do with the fact she was in class. I could type today because one of those days I wanted to impress her in that class on how well I was. But let me cut out. Go ahead.
So it was that you was trying very. You were already impressed, I guess, that's needless to say, but you was trying to be impressive. So from her perspective, it was. I'm thinking. I never like to say love at first sight, but I will say, it actually had to be attraction. Maybe say at first sight for you. But then from her perspective, how did she view you? Can you share something in regards to that, Brother Imam?
Look, here's the paradigm. Lady and the tramp, literally.
So obviously you the tramp.
I was the tramp, right? I was like them boys that get up every day, put on the same clothes, and go out and do the same thing. And it was always, you know, like hoodish, right?
Okay.
And she was like another guy. His name is Joe Price. I remember him, too. he was a friend of mine. We went to school. But Joe was the opposite. Joe, he always kept his hair combed. He had Vaseline on his face. His T-shirts were always shine. And it's like, you know, so that was the guy, right? But, you know, hey, once I make a decision that that's what's going to happen for me, I went to work on it. I went to work. And I won.
Alhamdulillah. So, Brother Imam, let's go to what we call courtship here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And of course, you know, you were not yet a Muslim, so obviously people,
right,
as they listen and know you,
right,
you were not even in the Nation of Islam even at that point. So
no.
You wanted to get her number, so obviously you wanted to get to know Yolanda a little bit better and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything that you can share or feel comfortable sharing in terms of the telephone conversation? What did the conversation that you have made her more attractive to you beyond just the physical beauty that you saw in her? And then vice versa, in terms of that she may have seen in you that you could share with the regular listening audience.
Yeah, that's a great question. And in actuality, there's a part of that question that really only she can answer. Because really, right now.
I just thought that maybe, at some point that she might have shared something. you know, to you about you at that particular time in the conversation that gave you some hope because you was a tramp.
Yeah. No. Listen. You know, quote unquote, getting girls was not an issue for me. Like,
That
was never the issue, right? So in the context of, look, I was funny, I was popular. I had the gift of gab in that sense. Those elements, like, I mean, if I went straight anthropological, you know, about it, then women, as a general rule, they do pay attention to those who can move up the male hierarchy, you know, who look like they know what they need to do in order to move. They know how to handle themselves, blah, blah. So I had those qualities. But I don't know exactly which one, if any, triggered her. But I had a respect for the fact I respected her in a way that she wasn't like the other women, right? In that sense, even though I was the way I was, but she was not like the other women who were quote unquote fawning or. She whatever the game was, it's like she played hard enough to get.
Okay.
in order to draw me in, right? So I might think I'm doing the catching, but she the one that's doing the catching, right?
So it's more like when the hunter gets captured by the game.
Yeah, exactly, and it's like she's strong, but then let's move on, and then you can get to where the reciprocity started coming in, because there were things that she brought to me, and her family, especially like her father and mother, because I was that guy. So when the tramp shows up at the door to get the baby girl, she's the baby girl in the house. It's like her father, he wasn't feeling me at all. You know what I'm saying? I respected that. But, you know, what happens is, you know, I do have a tendency to grow on people, right? So it's like there was a little bit of Eddie Haskell in me, just a little bit of Eddie Haskell, right? But the recognition of the fact that I had respect for their daughter, it wasn't nothing about way that I was acting, like, you know, I'm coming in and get this, and yeah, who are y'all, blah, blah. No. I had a kind of Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing going on, just to reflect on it. It's like, you know, there was a part of me that, you know, that was total street, and then there was also a part of me that was just smart, intelligent, manner, and that I account to my mother, whose birthday was May 19th, and Yolanda's is May 18th. There may be some connection there, because they had this common strength that you also felt from them. It's like when they're devoted, when they're committed, and that's been our history. And that, I'm sure that maternal energy and that maternal reflection of my mother, her. Because we talk about scissors, it's like I know that was an attractive factor.
That's excellent, Brother Imam. I mean, that attractiveness and in that regard. Now, my last question, and I'm going to turn it over to Quran. In terms of the conversation, the communication, you getting to know her better, she's getting to know you better. And I'm thinking after high school. When did you start to thinking about marriage or really getting together in that regard? Can you share something in regards to that to our radio listening audience, if you would, please? When did that conversation ever come up? Did you initiate it? Did she initiate it? Or both of you simultaneously thinking along the same lines there? Brother Imam?
We got married formally, actually, like we were, this 1968 was when we became boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
Okay.
He was in the 10th grade. I was in the 11th grade, right? And so that was when that commitment was made between the both of us, right?
Okay.
Then 1969, I graduated from high school. And then that year, in our era, which I don't know if it's the same for you, but generally for our age range, it's like, hey, look, if you graduate high school, then you can go ahead and, you know, do whatever you want to do, but you're going to graduate, right? So, I had my the year after that was when the reins were kind of cut loose. My mother kind of set me free a little bit because I've been playing in the streets and, you know, et cetera. But, you know, I was the only one that didn't know. Everybody knew what I was doing anyway. So in any case, so then my life took a philosophical turn where I started looking at, it's like these guys that I would hang out on the block, you know, we do the same thing every day, all the time, et cetera, et cetera. And so when I got to the quote-unquote top of the block, it was my block, the top of the block, and I looked around and said, well, look, nobody here is trying to go anywhere. Nobody's trying to do aspirations, right? So that turned me and said, well, look, it's time for you to go on back to school. And so, you know, quick version, when I went back to junior college, blah, 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 and graduated there. But then I got exposed to some Muslims there in that sense. And so she went to Chico State College up here in Northern California. So she's in college, you know, I'm in college, so we're still having our relationship, but it was a distal relationship. I'm traveling on Greyhound bus, going up to see her in Chico State, blah, blah, blah. Then I started getting the aspiration to, well, I got kicked out of my mama's house. That's one thing. I got kicked out of my mama's house for smoking marijuana. But marijuana was not legal, so I was smoking marijuana, this, you know, 69, 70. She kicked me out the house. They got, go live with your daddy. They had been divorced since I was 12. So when I was 12 years old, and so my father gave me a spot in his basement. You know, it was kind of like a bed in the corner. You know, naked wall, what have you. Any case, so that was when I had. I guess it must have been like a monk-like moment because I had opportunity to start reflecting. Hey, little boy, what's your life about? Where are you going? What you trying to do? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. So I went through that. So I read a little Malcolm Speaks to Young People while I was at my father's house, et cetera. So my mind started turning in that direction. Then one night when my wife now, or Yolanda, was at home, now I had made a decision personally, and I said that when I decided it was I'm going to be a Muslim and my wife is going to be a Muslim. I was kind of like just raw like that, and it was really kind of like almost like a punch in the face for her, because she'd have to describe it. But I know that the moment was a traumatic, I'll call it, kind of moment. In the absence, she probably never heard the word before, doesn't have any idea what that means, and all that, but. My commitment was that was where I was going to be. Nevertheless, she embraced that commitment, quote, with me. So we started going to temple meetings, together. And December 31st, 1971, I decided that January 1, 1972, I was going to be a Muslim and with no looking back, right? And so she made that commitment with me, and Papa don't take no mess. Speaking of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? ain't no shacking, ain't no, you know, friends with benefits, ain't none of that. It's like, look, you're gonna be married. If y'all gonna be together, you're gonna be married. So it was the Nation of Islam most formally that. You're going to be together, you're going to have to be married. And so that is what drove that. And so July 31st, 1972, we were married in the courthouse. The devil married us.
Those of us that know, we know what email is like. That was the language. That was the language. Then, yes.
That's right. But you know, that's the contradiction, the cognitive dissonance that we were actually living with, right? So it's like, so in order to make it legal, you got to go to the courthouse and do that. You know, I didn't even ask for no black judge or whoever it was. But the point. And there's the rest of this. You know, there's a lot to it, but. That was really the essence of it.
Well, alhamdulillah, no, that's a great information. Thank you so much. And now I'm going to turn it over to our partner here, Karan Shakir. I know she has some follow-up questions and want to say to those who just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and Mark Shaheed. A special, special honored guest tonight, Imam Fahim Shuaib, as he gives his marriage narrative to his wife, Yolanda Shuaib, 51 years. Karan, it's all yours.
Thank you, Brother Imam. I'm loving the story, the narrative about your relationship itself. And I'm curious to know, because you know, a part of what we do when we're talking about courtship and marriage, and over this time that we've been talking about the true love recipe, we have intentionally helped our audience to really think about the upbringing that you have that helps you to form your thinking about marriage and what kind of mate you want. So when you look at your own experience, and I think I hear that Yolanda was in a two-parent household and your parents were divorced at this time when you're deciding on marriage. But I want to know a little bit more about your upbringing and the values that were instilled in both of you to help you to form your thinking about marriage and what you want in a mate.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. It's so very important. I'm going to start at the end when, as it relates to my mother. That's what I mean, that, because that's where it starts with my mother. The question to me is my mother, and in terms of I did not literally, actually, in fact, ever become. I'm going to use the word upset, but I might otherwise use the term angry. But upset with my mother until, and this was before I understood what was going on toward the end of her life, rahimahullah alayhi, that she was suffering a little mental deterioration, right? And so there were some choices that she made that I wasn't pleased with, and so I said, you know, I have never ever been upset with you before, as I am now. I had some fake anger that I had presented to her when I was I was right at the age where your parents still had to sign for your driver's license, but since I was such a bad boy at the time, she said, I ain't signing for no driver's license for you. So I was mad, but I understood why she wasn't signing for it. So I made the statement, you ain't my mama, right? So she's in the kitchen, she's like one of Buckingham Palace guards, right? It's like, so how strong of a woman she was anyway, because I knew how to play on mama's sympathies, right? But there was one thing where she ain't going to be broke. She just ain't going to be broke. And so what happened was my mother was being divorced from my father. I heard the arguments, you know, and in the arguments, you know, none of us lived in no big mansion. So it's like when an argument happened in the house, everybody hear everything, right? So So after a number of arguments around the same issue came up through her, between them, whatever. The point is, my empathy for her was always going up. And it's like, you know, mashallah, you know, God rest his soul too and forgive him his shortcomings. My father, who wasn't a religious, man, really by any stretch. My mother, well, but he wasn't, you know, quote unquote atheistic or hating God or anything like that. If anything, maybe he was agnostic. I don't know. He just really didn't have a religious life. But my mother, she took me to church, took me to Sunday school, gave me the morals, gave me the values, et cetera. He even had the lead criminals in our in our neighborhood, the lead criminal, I'll put it like that, in the neighborhood that around. I didn't know. She said, watch out for my boy. So she had him looking out for me. I'm thinking I'm running things, doing whatever I'm doing. And she'd already said, look, I got somebody looking out for me. But she didn't tell me that until after we were both Muslims, right? So jump to the cut. One of the things was, when I became a Muslim, my mother, the only thing she told me was be careful, right? And then 10 years later, did she tell me. Now in the meantime, and of course, the transition between Imam Muhammad came also. In the meantime, I would still go to her candlelight services, go to the church gatherings where mamas wanted to be proud to have their children with them. I'm a Muslim. I'm bow ties. Well, whatever it was, I was there. Right, because I'm there for my Mother's Day, all of that, right? So I would go to church. I had no issue with going to church with her. It was the church I grew up in, right? So in case, so the point is that she watched me for 10 years after I made this transition from the tramp, the bad boy in the hood, blah blah, and she said she told me on her 50th birthday, she said I've watched you for 10 years, and on my 50th birthday, that is her 50th birthday, I decided to give myself the gift. That's her speaking in her early days. I give myself the gift of becoming a Muslim. So she took Shahadatain because she saw that Nation of Islam did for me, and Al-Islam after that, did for me what she always wanted to have done for me through her own efforts. And so when she was checked, she thought, oh, this is real. I want a part of that too, right?
Wow.
So she was my model. And so my advocacy for marriage and women, et cetera, has everything to do with my mother. It has everything to do with my mother. And the women are so, it's beyond worthy. I mean, it's like, it's just beyond worthy. Like, just, yeah, and if you, anybody who touches on and have any sense of a woman unconnected, the kind of anxiety, pain, difficulty, stress that entails in trying to live in it, I don't know if you, I can't see how you can have a heart and see that, and you as a man are not tied to some woman who is fit, if you will, and you'd be surprised most of them are, but for the absence of men and the consequent shifting and molding and misshaping in some cases that happens to her psyche in that absence, but had the man played the role that he should have played, those distortions that you're complaining about perhaps would not be there. But if a man recognizes that that distortion is there because you ain't there. So if you would get there, you could bring things up. So long answer, but that's my answer.
I'm there. Quran, you got more questions, Quran, or are you on mute?
Yes, so I'm curious also then, this is your background. You come from a household where you have so much love and admiration for your mother and her strength.
Yeah.
And that's when you decide what you're looking for in a mate. And I love that their birthdays are right, probably some connection there. And then for Yolanda, Although she's not here to tell her own story, can you tell us a little bit about her background?
I feel comfortable in replying. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Just asking the question, just knowing that that question is coming up next, it brought it into focus. I would say, now she has to answer for herself, but I would say it was her father that drove her sensibilities and sensitivities for as far as her what she expects of a man, what she expected of a man, and the kind of man that her father was. At her father's funeral, one of his sisters, someone's testimony, I believe it was one of his sisters, they said they had maybe said that they never heard him curse. Right? And I mean, how rare is that? he was like a journeyman that worked with the concrete industry. He basically didn't take vacations. He was like Johnny on the spot, dependable, supporting his family with the fullness that a man should have. So it was that man that was assessing me when I came to get his daughter, if you will. And so in the context of becoming the kind of disciplined and trustworthy and honest person of character that the Nation of Islam reshaped the tramp into, then I began to look in that way more like her father in the context of discipline. And again, she already had the beauty and the consistency and the self-possession to that I was attracted to. So in my opinion, she got very strong influence from the way of her father, and I got a very strong influence from the way of my mother. And so in not everybody had, you know, what they did. So the point is that those two qualities together in us is also what contributes to the glue of our relationship, because she has a model of what manhood should be. I mean, beyond and before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she learned more about the religion later. But the point by which I was going to be judged was not only what we said we're committed to, but, you know, what kind of a man of responsibility are you being, right? And then me, from the perspective of the woman, you got the Nation of Islam, and then you had the nurturer, the mother. That part of her, of course, NGT GCC helped with all that. So I don't know how much that answers the question, but I'll cut my answer right there.
No, that was good. That was really good. I think it's helpful when our audience can picture, you know, what it takes to choose a mate and to understand what you bring to the table when you're going through that process of choosing a mate. I think that's very important. And then as parents, what you have to model for your children and to help them as they begin that whole process all over again in their own way of choosing a mate and being a mate. Thank you. Mark, if you have any questions, you can go ahead.
No, what we're going to do at this time, I know our radio listening audience has been very, very patient, and we do if you have any questions, please press 1. If you chimed in to the studio, all you have to do is just press 1 for honored guests. And those who are listening by way of the Internet to IWDN Radio, you do have to call into the studio. Once again, at number 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. This is your time to ask our honored guests a question, or maybe make a comment, or some of the things that Imam Fahim Shuaib have shared in regards to his marriage narrative to his wife Yolanda Shuaib for 51 years. Please ask your question and make your comment. Be as succinct as you possibly can, and so he can respond back to you. Press 1 at this time. Quran, do we have any callers in the queue. Let's go to them and see what they have on their mind.
We are going to start with 202-320. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. Your mic is open and you are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rafia Jones in Washington, D.C.
I like my
style. Right away. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Fahim.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You made a comment that I would really appreciate. First of all, I just appreciated you saying it, but if there's any little elaboration, when you talked about women and how, if there's any, I'm going to use this language, any crookedness in us, because the Prophet Salaam, well, I don't know how strong the hadith is, but in our ways of getting through life can have some difficulty for a man. But from what I understood you to say is that that is a point of mercy, and to definitely roll with that sister, your wife, through that storm so she can see her way through. Could you please just say a little more about that?
I have an unfinished lecture that had to do with women. I'm going to say this without fear of contradiction. Men don't understand women. And I think it's been that way since, quote, Adam and Eve. We don't understand women. We need to improve our understanding of women. And it is the nature of the woman, actually, to, quote, unquote, test, but for the purpose of his improvement. Right?
Yeah.
So consequently, the inability to respond in the proper masculine way to that test is why men fail the test, and therefore the relationship doesn't develop. The bird that I'm mentioning now may not be the right bird, but I'm going to call it the weaver bird. But there's a bird. When birds mate, one of the things that birds do, the female, she sits off awake from the nest, from the tree, and there are two males competing for this female's heart, let's call it. And what they both have to do, they both have to build a nest. They build a nest. And once the nest is finished, the male flies off to another part of the tree, and then the female comes to the nest that he just finished building, and she jumps on it and flaps and flaps and flaps and flaps her wings to see if the nest will break down. If the nest breaks down, then he's fired. That's not going to happen, right?
He gets fired immediately.
Now, he goes to the next nest, puts it to the same test. If it holds up, she settles down there, and they make their happy home, right? See, this is the feminine nature. The universe is feminine, and the universe will test us, challenge us, et cetera. If we learn how to respond to it appropriately, then it gives us its gifts, right? So the idea in the nature of the woman is to put us to that kind of test. Now, in the presence of a natural system, you would have men who, again, go through those qualifications and interact with the women, and she gets the natural improvements that come. We are lock and key to each other, right? It's that what it's called is internal release mechanism. I know it's a long answer, but I got to finish. Mm-hmm. Internal release mechanism. Each one of us is the lock for the other's key and the key for the other's lock. The female cannot become truly what she's created to be without the input of the masculine. And the masculine can't truly become what he was created to be without the input of the feminine. Her key unlocks my potential. My key unlocks her potential. And whenever our potentials don't get unlocked, it's an oppression of the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that's supposed to be a blessing to her and to him and vice versa. And the absence of marriage is a suppression of that realization, right? So you get distorted whenever nature is suppressed and it has a right to be expressed, then it gets distorted because it's not being expressed naturally. And so this is a big failing on our part if we claim to want to build ummah. It's a big failing on our part when we don't make those marriage connections. It's like, what do you think is going to happen? So, I don't know.
That was outstanding.
Yeah, beautiful,
that
beautiful.
Was.
So we can actually say in some cases, Brother Imam, many men don't have birth sense, huh? If we're looking at creative supported logic here.
Right. It's like the seed God gave us.
I'm really loud. Thank you, Brother Imam. That's excellent. Okay, so thank you so much for calling in. Press 1 as you out so we keep the studio crying. There are other hands up. I'm feeling that there are other hands and other just.
Absolutely. We're going to 816-813. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. Your mic is open and you are on the air. 816-813.
Take yourself off of mute. 813. Oh, there you go. Well, I'll make my...
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Najma.
Alaikum
assalam. First of all, Brother Imam Shuaib and Sister Yolanda, congratulations on 51 years. That's phenomenal. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, friend.
Something for us all to strive for. Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
I love the story about the bird. I love that story.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this. In the courtship stage of these relationships, so many times, you know, we get together and we talk, and a lot of sisters get heartbroken, even during this stage before they even talk about marriage. They go through different things, different changes with brothers, and something happens where they feel absolutely, he broke my heart, he crushed me. How
mm-hmm.
do sisters can avoid this feeling during a stage where, Brother Mark, you always talk about this is just a fact-finding stage. So how can mm-hmm. sisters avoid getting so emotionally involved at this stage where if a brother decides to end it, they feel crushed, they feel heartbroken? I know my dad taught us to always have boundaries, have certain questions, and if certain questions aren't answered a certain way, the relationship should end. But a lot
mm-hmm.
of Muslim women get crushed during this courtship stage. So what would be your suggestion on how to avoid that feeling, inshallah?
Get a wali before you get a relationship. That's the answer. It's like when you have part of ukun nikah is what it's called. Ukun nikah, it means the marriage contract, right? So the inaugurating and initiating a marital relationship is a business proposition. It's like if you're buying real estate, or if you're buying an automobile or what have you, there are certain inspections that that need to be made, and you need to have some kind of information before you make that decision. And what happens is, in real estate particularly, and my wife is a real estate broker, particularly it's like you need to have an agent who knows what you're looking for and know who's qualified to come into a potential relationship with you. And those questions that you mentioned, my sister, regarding that whatever the answer is determined whether it's a go or a no, well, that's what the wali is supposed to have for her, not for her to go in to try to negotiate the relationship on her own. Because if the answer is no and there's no go from the beginning, there's no heartbreak because you never even got close enough to even have any kind of emotional ties in such a way. So I think, get a wali before you get a relationship. So even if the individual comes to mind or heart, whatever it might be, and okay, then you don't have a wali at the moment, but you have a quote-unquote prospect that you want to be looked into, mm-hmm. well, then you do like Khadija did, radiallahu anha. She sent her friend to check out Muhammad from mm-hmm. a marital perspective because she said, what's his deal, right? Basically, Khadija's saying, he ain't married? You know, what's his deal? So she sent her friend to go get those questions answered. So that also shows that the whole of Muhammad ibn Abdullah's life is a part of the revelation. So it's like, so sister, you can have a sister go check somebody out for you. It don't have to be your uncle or your brother or your father. Mm-hmm. You can have somebody check who knows you to check mm-hmm. them out, knows what your questions are. And they go scout it out for you. And if it ain't good, then, yeah, let that one go. And keep pushing.
Very handsome.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Brother Iman.
All right. And we're going to ask you.
Does she have a follow-up question? Or do we have others in the queue with their hands up?
Yes. And just a reminder, push one as you come out of the queue. And now we're going to go to 845-591. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. Your mic is open, and you are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you.
Alhamdulillah. Years ago, this was in the middle of 1980, you came to Newburgh. We was masjid al Jihad al-Akbar, that was Imam Abdi Muhammad. And you came and gave a talk. I don't remember the exact name of the topic, but you were talking about communications and the difference between the man and woman communicating.
Yeah.
And one of the points you brought out was that a woman have a certain amount of words that they need to get out in a day, which is much more than the amount that a man needs to get out. And that by the time the man gets home, he's all out of his words and he just want to relax. But the woman have a lot of more words that she, you know, wants to say. And so so that what I want to know is, how did you and Sister Wolanda navigate for 51 years that field? It's like a minefield.
Yeah, Masha, listen, that communication is, I'm going to make up a word, absolutely necessary. And that's the breaking point of many, and I make mistakes on a daily, not as big and as deep as I used to, but we can still make mistakes in relation to communication. Relative to what you're just mentioning, men and women. I'll go ahead and refer a book that I always refer to. You Just Don't Understand by Dr. Deborah Tannen. Anybody who really wants to get this idea clear, you need to read that book. You can probably find it on Kindle audio. I don't know where you can find it now, but it's in many years ago of the time frame she's mentioning. Men and women. Like, for example, like this. I'm on this line right now. It's like, for me, it's quote-unquote easy. But for Yolanda, is not a public speaker, i.e. meaning speaking in public is not what she's drawn to in that sense. Me, I am a public speaker. And what Dr. Tannen talks about in the book is she says men are into report talk and women are into rapport. Right? Women speak mainly for rapport and men speak mainly to report. And this is also where we make our mistake as men. We make our mistake thinking that all communication has to be about information. Wrong. That's a mistake. When you talk about relationships and marriages, Dr. Tannen talks about genderless. There's a dialect, but then there's also genderless. There's a way that men speak and a background to men speaking, and there's a way that women speak, and there's a background to the way to a woman speaking. Her main speaking is for sense of community, a sense of affiliation, a sense of intimacy, a sense of relatedness. That's what she communicates for, not so for information, right? There's some women who do. But the nature of the genderless is, what is this? Is this relationship or communication bringing us closer together or putting us further apart? Those are the criteria for a woman to say this is good or this is not good. So man has to know the genderless of the woman to know that she's not communicating for information as much as she's communicating for affirmation. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, affirm my existence, acknowledge my existence, validate my existence. And that's not wrong for that to be the case. Okay, men, on the other hand, they compete in their communication. As a general rule, men are competing with regard to who has the most information, who has the best information, who can lay the information out the best, blah, blah, blah. And men make the mistake of invalidating women's communication because they don't find as much, quote, unquote, information in their communication. And that's where the disconnect happens. And that's why the intimacy is not acquired or not gained or not created, because a man doesn't know that. Look, man, every time you open your mouth, it don't have to be about facts and data. Your communication with your mate is about validation, affirmation, intimacy, a sense of community, sense of sharing, right? Let her talk. Check in. Say, mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah. It's largely a failure of that knowledge of how men and women communicate and how they reciprocally, that cooperate, that communication, males, M-E-L-D-S, males us more so together because we are communicating appropriately in each other's gender list.
Excellent, excellent.
So in other words, it's not the fact that he needs to say, have more words, just mm-hmm, really,
exactly.
Words like that.
Exactly. So, like, for example, when women talk to each other, women, they take turns in the communication, right? And they check in with each other. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When men talk to each other, because it's a competition, every time they hear mm-hmm, they think that the person is agreeing with them. And so, therefore, they can talk to their wives, their mates, what have you, and she said, mm-hmm. And then he keeps going, mm-hmm. He said, mm-hmm. So we agree there.
Uh-uh. Brother Imam, I think it's important, too, because we've talked about this on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab in terms of the five styles of listening. So want to really be clear here, you know, when Imam Fahim Shoaib is actually saying in terms of checking in, we don't want to be guilty or pretending, you know, we have ignoring, pretending.
Mm-hmm.
We have selective listening, attentive listening, and the highest form of listening is empathic listening. Empathic listening, and so you have to be very astute. I'm thinking that what you're saying is mm-hmm. that we have to really, really be clear here. You want to utilize the highest form of listening, which is empathic listening. Whereas that you truly, truly are listening to your mate, but you also, we had a stand back a few years ago, I feel you,
right.
you know.
Right.
Now, this doesn't mean that you agree, maybe, say, with everything that's being said, but
mm-hmm.
it opens the door for when you have to speak. Because you are exercising the highest form of listening, which is empathic listening. The empathy is there. You understand what it is they're saying, and you also feel it in the fervor in their voice, in terms of the tone of their voice, in all of this. So this means that you have to give your undivided attention. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not like you do children. Sometimes you're caught up watching maybe a soap opera or a sporting event, and your child is trying to get your attention, and you say, oh, nice doggy. Oh, no, mama, daddy, that's not a donkey, that's a horse. Oh, nice horsey. Okay, so you have divided attention there, but you're pretending like you're listening. So I just want to make sure that we include that, how important to exercise the highest form of listening, empathic listening. Empathy
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
has to be there. I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
so,
alhamdulillah.
That, We got more callers, Karan,
We do.
Have their hands up. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we're going to ask the sister to please push one as you your mic is muted. And now we're going to 504-434. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. Your mic is open and you are on the air.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Who are you? Where are you calling from? I think you're a little early. You're supposed to be the surprise guest.
Well, I am. I'm surprised at all this wisdom that I'm getting. Okay, so I'm just listening.
Do you recognize that voice, Imam Fahim Shuaib?
At Habibullah Saleem.
The language king. We actually had a surprise for you. He just come on a little too early, though, you know. But anyway,
well,
go ahead.
I didn't come on to interfere. I came on to intercheer.
That's my good buddy and friend, Habibullah Saleem, the language king. Yeah. Go ahead, brother Saleem. You got a question or comment for Imam Fahim Shuaib?
Well, you want me to wait later?
Well, yeah, that's what the plan was. You spoiled the surprise.
I just came on to listen, and I've learned a great deal within a short period of time. As always said, I don't have to eat a whole steak to know it's beef, or eat a whole cow to know it's beef, you know? So
I need you to hold tight for just a few minutes here, okay?
So, Mark, if you want to, and I can put Brother Habibullah on mute, and if you want to, we can move to our True Love.
Yeah, we can move to that. Yeah, we'll do that now because we have Habibullah Saleem on and everything. Brother Imam, we want to engage you for a few minutes here in terms of the K and the letter alphabet K. These things that I think that are very noteworthy in terms of being the True Love Recipe. The True Love Recipe, for those who just tuning in, is my True Love Recipe, my own. As you know, recipes can take different type of ingredients in it, and they can be added to, they can be taken away, it can be modified or what. But we doing this from the source of the Quran, the life example of the prophet, and these are natural, organic ingredients, qualities and characteristics, the preservatives or natural preservatives designed to sustain and maintain the sacred institution of marriage. So the first one in terms of K is kindness. My question to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, would kindness be in your True Love Recipe, and if so, why? And if not, would it truly be a True Love Recipe, Brother Imam?
Kindness is absolutely necessary. I'm thinking of the verses in the Quran, even though the specific word kindness is not the word that comes up in this verse, but it's the verse I know Quran is very familiar with, it because for some reason I hear it read in her voice very often. It says among Allah's signs that He created you, mates of like nature, that you may have love and mercy from them. So this muwadda wa rahma. So the muwadda is that's love, right? And then rahma, which is like mercy, but I'm speaking of in the context of kindness, right?
Yes.
And kindness is beyond love in the way that I'm saying it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can get the love that grows, and you can get the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, but it's really not until you really learn how to be kind to each other that love really, is demonstrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and it's a growth, just like the hub and the muad and the rahma, I take them as graduation. So no, you can't have a loving relationship without kindness. Not possible.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. Now, yeah, we got Habibullah Salim. Let's open his mic because he has something prepared for you and Yolanda. So now, Habibullah Salim, it's your time to give something that you wrote in terms of a poetic way in regards to kindness. So this is for you, Imam Fahim Shuaib and Yolanda Shuaib.
Okay.
Your mic is open, Brother Habibullah.
Is he there? He disappeared all this time. Habibullah,
he may have it on mute.
He's on mute. Take yourself off of mute, Habibullah Salim. Well, while we're waiting for him, we just need to move on. He was supposed to be. He came on early, and he must have left. Okay, so we're going to go to the next K here, Brother Imam, which I think is very, very important in terms of keeping Allah's word at the forefront of our life and be on that K2 is keeping your word. Would that be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe without keeping Allah's word at the forefront and then thus keeping your word while we wait on Habibullah Salim to get back on?
Yeah.
Brother Imam, your response.
Absolutely. I think all of us on this line for sure have grown up with a man is no better than his word. A man is no better than his woman too, right? And then, of course, when you come into the Nation of Islam, word is bond and bond is life, and I'll give my life before my word shall fail. We had a very strong, I'm going to call it a Katrina-level fitness come through Oakland in 2001, and my lead in on the day of the revelation of whatever that was, I asked everybody, and we were all united in as a community, and before we split off into other communities, I'm talking about here in the Bay Area. And my question to everybody gathered there, I said, do I owe anybody anything? This is for the whole Northern California community there at the time. Do I owe anybody anything, right? And have I ever lied to anybody? This is a open, impromptu, flat-footed, tell me, have I ever lied to any of you? Total silence on both questions. What always been my sense of strength, and may Allah forgive me and grant me protection and guidance, and this is no boast, but it was that fact that I always kept my word. That was my salvation, from the
east. Yes.
So yeah, you have to keep your word. If you can't keep your word, you need to tell somebody before it comes due. If it's going to be due tomorrow, don't tell me tomorrow. You need to tell me today. If you already know you're not going to come through with what you said tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. So no, absolutely. It's like no. There's no. You can't be a man without a trustworthy word. What is a man that his word can't be trusted? Who is that? What is that?
Well, when you hear that bell, I didn't mean to alarm you, but you just hit on another one of the key ingredients in the true love recipe. Of course, we haven't got to tea yet, but trust one of the key ingredients in the true love recipe, because trust is a must. Otherwise, the relationship becomes a bust in that regard.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know that you did hit on that. Something that you said in the Nation of Islam, and I know maybe say a lot of people were in the Nation of Islam when you said, my word is bond and bond is life. I give my life before my word should fail. I want to share something that Imam Muhammad did in terms of tweaking that, if you will, to give us even more clarity on that. He said, yeah, this showed how serious and committed that we were in terms of keeping our word, no doubt about it. Imam Muhammad said, but we went a little too far. And he simply went to the Quran to give us even more insight into that saying. He said that only Allah's word prevails all the time, and his word never fails. And and he went on to illustrate in terms of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, all actions and matters are judged by your niyyah, by your intention. And he went on in terms of actually going to the Quran, where Allah tells us in the Quran, never say what you will do tomorrow without saying, inshallah. And this is further proof in terms of only Allah's word prevails. But we always should have the good intention. And he says, no, we wouldn't have to give our life. It could be something that we didn't know that would happen that may prevent us from keeping our word. I'm hoping that this is clear to our radio listening audience so that, you know, our beloved leader and teacher was wise. He looked into things. He would tweak things sometimes that we got from the Nation of Islam. And as just as Imam Fahim Shuaib said, we all said that. We all said that. And every opportunity I get as a student of the Imam to share this with our radio listening audience or talks or what, lectures or whatever I give in terms of sharing that, because it adds clarity when we hear that, that we don't have to go to the extreme. Know that only Allah's word will prevail. We always need to have the good intention. Now, don't just say, don't make it a cliche. You know, Brother Imam, I know you know this. How many brothers are you going to get to come back to set up and to break down the chairs, table? Inshallah. Yeah, but say what you... Say what you're going to do, what you intend to do, and then say, inshallah. I'll stop there. I think I said enough about that. Alhamdulillah.
That's right. Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah. So, Brother Imam, the other part of that was, oh, we got Habibullah?
Yeah, I think Brother Habibullah has raised his hand on another line, and so I'm going to turn that mic up.
Okay, let's go to him then.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, go right ahead, Brother Habibullah.
Okay, you can hear me now? Yeah, we can
hear you
now.
Okay, here we go.
Acts of kindness. Intelligence prescribed for promoting being kind. Intelligence for sure is a well-developed mind. Kindness is a challenge to our God-given duties. Kindness is a blessing when it comes to natural beauty. Kindness is the chain that holds us together. Kindness is achievable regardless of the weather. Kindness builds love with the best of intentions. Kindness is the key when it comes to prevention. Kindness with courtesy and then no parade. Promoting words of kindness is the way to have it made. Kindness is so valuable with God as the guide. Those who are kind are seldom denied. Kindness with vision and peace as the core. Kindness is the way to really earn more. Removing all violence as well as all crime, intelligence is needed when it comes to being kind. Acts of kindness each and every day. Acts of kindness is truly the way. So that's
Allahu Akbar. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Brother Imam Fahim, we had a conversation.
Before he says something, I want him to hear this, and I was in the dark room, and I just started delivering in a dark room. So I pray Allah that I brought some light out of that dark room. Here we go. Marriage, the marathon with sincere trust and commitment. Far beyond the essence of an emotional sprint. Marriage, the marathon, is what the Creator has sent. Sent to be embraced by those who are sincere. Marriage, the marathon, for both parties to cheer. Conquering the turbulence throughout the flight. Sincere trust and commitment, a magnificent delight. A marvelous journey with impeccable inspiration. Marriage the marathon with incredible dedication. Taking turns when necessary. Washing the dishes. Marriage the marathon, a remarkable ambition. A gift of challenges. The rewards are heavy. Functioning as one, maintaining the levy. Marriage the marathon, decades of joy. The requirements of the Creator determined to employ. Into the family, multiple newborns. Marriage the marathon, never to be scorned. Proven by many that marriage will work. 51 years aware and alert. Guided by the Creator to stay on course. Marriage the marathon, so why divorce? Marriage for those who pray together. Marriage for those who stay together. It's the marathon beyond the icing on the cake. Marriage is more than a strawberry, chocolate, or vanilla milkshake. Pursuing stability, flexible and firm. Exhibiting great interest for each other's concerns. Sharing sincerity, commitment, and trust. Maintaining the warmth with vision and thrust. A lifetime experience with trials and smiles. Marriage the marathon with love compiled. Refusing to deviate, committed to compete. Marriage the marathon, oh, what a treat. It's called Cheers for Years, Hurling All Fears, for Juanita and her son, Marriage the Marathon.
Alhamdulillah. Allah Wagbar, alhamdulillah. Let me say this to you, Brother Imam Fahim Shoaib. And just talking with Habibullah Salim, he has a production that's going to be happening, inshallah, on September the 30th there in New Orleans, Louisiana. When he told me about it, I had him on the round table last night. And it's actually an honor to the legendary boxing champion, Muhammad Ali. Act of kindness in regards to the youth there and the ingenuity, the creativity of Habibullah Salim. It's going to be 3-minute rounds of acts of kindness in terms of opposing violence and crime, And I was just thrilled about this promotion to give him an opportunity to get that exposure. And he hit me with a poem in terms of kindness. And I told him that we were expecting to have you and Yolanda on, you know, giving your marriage narrative. And something just hit me and said, well, why don't you save that? And when they come on, because they're going to be doing the True Love Recipe on K, and that'd be a good time to give it. So thank you so much, you know, Habibullah Salim. And then you know how talented he is. That's why he is, Habibullah Salim is the language king that we call him, because at 82 years old, he hasn't slowed up yet. He's still doing wonderful, wonderful things. And I just want to just thank you and appreciate all you've done and you're still doing here for this community. And I remember Imam Fahim, I was on your show not too long ago, maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks or what, I don't remember, but you were asking, but I mean, I was off then, you know, I got muted off, and I know I couldn't come back, you know, but you were saying, well, I wonder if Mark Shaheed knows Habibullah Salim. Well, we've been running together for quite a few years, and you know, some heck of a conversations and everything that probably could be recordings and all, but I really have a lot of respect for Habibullah Salim and what it is that he does, and he's been doing it for a long time. So we just want to share that with you, and hopefully Londa will get opportunity to hear that too. Thank you, Habibullah Salim.
I have to say this, that Imam Shoaib has contributed so much to this deen and to so many minds in this deen that he has to be, you know, among the top of those who have really dropped the rope down so more people can be pulled up to the top, you know. And I just love Imam Shoaib. I've always honored his works and how he goes into saving lives. saving lives and allowing those lives to be highly productive and highly beneficial to society. So, ma'am, Barleen Rabe, I thank you much for what you have contributed to our dean and still contributing to our dean. So I just pray Allah that he continues to bless you with all of the wisdom that you're sharing with us.
Shukran. And you do the same. Habibullah and I, we met pre-Katrina down there in NOLA. And I was in stitches all the time. I was with you. Somebody laughing, that's who you need. He's like a good pill to have around. So he can just keep you. And he's committed to education of all on all levels. Real special. And I still remember the joke about the elephant and the lion, but we ain't gonna tell it right here. That's funny.
I want to share this right. Take a second. 1 second. Is there a woman named 99 Cents married a man named Penny, and they've been 100% ever since?
That's how people laugh. Well, you see, when I talk to Habibullah Salim, you know, I can't read or write. I mean, I can't read. I can write some, but I'm not able to read. So I just take my recorder and record. And he gets his notebook and pad, you know, because he likes those acronyms and all that. We just have a ball sometimes just talking to each other, and it's a pure delight. And so, you know, when you heard that bell ring, you just touched on another one of the key ingredients in the True Love Recipe, and that'll be for our guest next Thursday, inshallah. Instructor Abdul Shaheed and his wife will be joining us, and that is on laughter, and we'll see how much laughter would that be in the True Love Recipe. But we got one more, and I think you missed the other part in that, of course, you talked about how important it is for you to keep your word and things to teach my sons and daughters. You know better than your word. If your word is no good, what that make you, you know, in that regard. But keeping Allah's word at the forefront, we hear our Christian brothers and sisters they say, God is at the forefront of my life. We hear Muslims actually say basically the same thing. Would keeping the word of God at the forefront in your life, Imam Fahim Shuaib, would that be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe?
Yeah.
Brother Imam?
Yeah. Without the word of God in any formal way, that the permanence of the relationship, the marriage, is in jeopardy. And one of the reasons I would say is because, quote unquote, we're fallible. You know, just like you mentioned about word is bond and bond is life. Allah's word is a word that never fails. It never fails, right? So why would you always keep that in front of you? Why wouldn't that be your first go-to in terms? Because you're going to have many challenges and many, you know, how can you say, controversies, if you will, just by being married. And being married, you're going to have controversies about decisions that need to be made, controversies about in your parenting, controversies into, you know, business and household decisions that need to be made. And if you don't have a reference that can be trusted, given your good intention, if you don't have a reference that you can go to, then your life is going to be filled with much more chaos and confusion. But when you have the Quran as at least the first go-to, so, okay, well, what does the Quran say about this thing that we are in controversy about, right? And then being willing to resign, even if it doesn't support your position in a matter or your disposition in a matter, then you're going to go with, if you are a believer, inshallah, you're going to go with what God brings to you as an understanding, even when it contradicts a position that you might prefer. So, but having it as a criterion, which is what it's called, one of its names, having it as a criterion, that makes life a little bit, if not a lot, easier, because it gives you a first premise to begin your deliberation, making your decisions.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent answer. Alhamdulillah, I concur 100%. The last one is kissing. And
yes.
That was in my true love recipe because one of the things I saw as a boy growing up and oftentimes being in my grandparents' house, I didn't learn their names until later on because my grandmother was always called baby. My grandfather was always called honey, and I never saw my grandfather leave the house before kissing his wife, my grandmother, and hugging her. And when he returned, he would do the same. Even if we had company, the first thing he goes to do is to kiss his wife and give her a hug. I was very impressionable. It made a big impression on me. So my question to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, would kissing be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe? Brother Imam.
Do Kansas City people put sauce on barbecue?
We do too. St. Louis, we used to rival each other in the Midwest. Who had the best barbecue, KC or the STL?
Absolutely. I just wanted to get into the region there. You know, rather than say.
Yeah, well, you know, when you said KC instead of the STL, you know, it's a little, still a little competition happens here in the Midwest.
Yeah, righteous competition, right?
Righteous. So, are you righteous? No. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. We got to take two to kiss, right?
Yes, my grandmother always said it takes two to tangle, for real.
Right. We kiss at least 7 times a day. I haven't been in a doghouse for a long time, so I can't remember when was the last time that this was not the case.
Mm.
When I wake up in the morning, when we make salat, which we pray together, I know prayers coming up in the P or the
that's
S.
That's right.
Somewhere.
Yes.
but prayer
is in the P. That's right.
At the end of every one of our prayers, we kiss and we hug. Right. When I finish that delicious meal that she prepares for me, I put my dishes and her dishes away, and I kiss her and thank her for that.
Or
I lay down to go to sleep. I cannot do that without kissing her before I lay down to go to sleep. So, yeah, all day long.
Yeah. Just what you say you do, that was already the answer. So it's so very important. And, you know, I I remember you saying that in terms of the life example of the prophet. And, of course, I think that this hadith is a sahih hadith, probably coming from Aisha, Ibrahim al-Anna, in terms of before even the prophet, in terms of conjugal relationship, he said that you should send two messages.
Mm-hmm.
One is words of kindness, thoughtful, sweet words, but also kissing in that regard. So these are things that actually our prophet modeled many, many things, was an excellent example in every aspect of life in that regard. So it's nothing to be ashamed of. If if you are a kisser or a hugger, you know, in that regard. You know, as a word tolerance, the word hug, a hug, it helps us grow stronger. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Social scientists say that everybody needs at least 4 hugs a day. And so you can see the difference in children. Children that go to school, and Karen is one of our premier educators, and I'm quite sure she's been able to detect, maybe say sometimes children that's not coming from a home of love where that child is actually hugged and given a kiss or words of affirmation. Very, very important. But human beings need to have that in their life too. So I want to thank you, Brother Imam Fahim Shoaib. That was excellent. And we getting close to wind down time, but I have enjoyed it immensely, and I'm hoping that our radio listening audience have, and from the ones that called in, and we have a lot of people that's in tune here on IWDM Radio. But I also want to give you this opportunity with any closing remarks you have, and please, you know, a clear understanding, another outstanding platform. I tune in every opportunity I get, every Saturday. I might not be on this Saturday because we're having our grand opening of our weekend school here, Dr. White Keel, and, of course, Karan Shakir. They're very good friends, and they're actually working together in terms of developing a curriculum, you know, for the Clara Muhammad School and all, and Karan does outstanding work, and working with Dr. Medina Waikil, we are really blessed to have her because she's a jewel in this community, such as Karan Shakir in that regard. So I may not be on this week because we're having our grand opening, but I tune in to clear understanding because Imam Fahim Shoaib, just as Habib Allah Saleem has said, has been making such contributions. Now, he was known as a relationship imam for many, many years, and a lot of the conventions and conferences, he was always summoned, and different cities would always summons him, but he's a very, very learned imam. I learned so much from listening to his khutbahs and his productions down through the years. And so I just wanted to just say this on national radio, but I always let you know how much I appreciate and respect the contributions that you made in the past, still making, and I pray a lot that you'll be making them for many, many, many more years. So if you would, feel free to give this information to our radio listening audience. I know you have different productions on Clear Understanding. So please, you can disseminate that information if you choose to. And any parting remarks in regards to tonight's production. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. It is, it's been, of course, a pleasure and an honor to spend this time, take it and reconnect. Alhamdulillah. And I have to say, you know, I would not be who I am. We know Allah is in charge of everything and everybody, et cetera. But I do need to restate, reinforce, and I'm not missing and needing any special points for this, but I want to say it. There's no way for me to be who I am because life is past dependent. What happened, happened, and you can't erase what happened. And what happened made a contribution whoever and wherever we are right now, and I could not be who I am without Yolanda Mahasin Shuai. It's like don't get it twisted.
I pray a lot that she's listening and hearing that, but I know she knows that too. Brother Imam, let me say this before you go on. I got to tell the radio listeners this because I was privileged years ago. I don't know if you remember it, but we were in Kansas City. You and Yolanda was invited to do a workshop. I was invited to do a workshop. Your workshop was first, your duet. And I know you said a lot of good things, but your wife, as far as I was concerned, said and did the most profound thing after you spoke and you sat down and she stood up to speak. And I want to just say, Yolanda Shuaib, in her own right, is a very profound speaker. And so Imam Fahim Shuaib had went and sat down, and she began to speak. And she began to talk about her relationship to her husband. And she called, she said, Fahim, I need you to stand up. And then she told him, I need you to come forward. He came forward.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood in front of him. And she said, sometimes in our relationship, I take the lead. I'm in front of him. In those areas, you understand, that I'm more equipped in terms of being in front. Then she put him, she pushed him up a little bit, and she got behind him. And she said, sometimes I'm behind him, and in that, I'm supporting what it is that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came from behind him and stood beside him. She said, but this is my most favorite position with my husband, to be beside him.
Mm-hmm.
And that just stayed on my mind. I thought it was so beautiful. It just really kind of brought tears to my eyes, you know, see that. And out of all the things that were said, that's what I left with, you know, that weekend. And I think that that's a profound message, you know, and hearing it from a woman, a Muslima, in regards, you know, to that. I think that's something that we can learn to do for each other. It's times that the woman would take the lead, and brothers, don't feel inferior, because Allah has given the honor and distinction to the woman to be the first teacher and the first leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be a teacher without a leader. The baby,
that's
not
right.
Only baby girls, but baby boys. This is what we teach on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. But I just wanted to say that was outstanding or standing out in my mind. I don't know if you remember that. I know you do so many workshops and seminars and lectures and all. But that was in Kansas City, Missouri, 22 years ago. But it stood out. And I think I told you that story before. I forgot what you said, but I remember with your wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a little inside joke that's going to be public now. But it's like 95% of the time, she has an opinion. My experience and our experience is such that 95% of the time she's correct. I have to say 95% because I just can't say 100%. But
okay,
95% she's correct, right?
Yeah.
I have eaten my words on a number of occasions, and then also when she does, you know, express her, you know, we take Shura and often. Right, and things, it's like, well, I can't argue with that. That, you know, that's it. So I think Allah, among the things that most men don't get about the nature of women, women are closer to nature, unless they suffer that distortion that we talked about. Women are closer to nature than men. That's why we have to be brought back more so than women, right? So the role that she plays in terms of common sense and mother wit and all of that, our women, our females have that in them. There's a treasure of wisdom. And then when they have the beautiful years behind them or with them, in consequence, their wisdom is ripe. Their wisdom is ripe. And that is what so many men are missing. You know, it's like, she too old. Man, look, man. There's so much fruit on that tree. We ain't even talking about the way she's able to save money and economize, et cetera. You know, I'm going to say this in honor of my mother. It's just a joke, right? But it's a true joke from what I'm talking about. She had, you know, there's a lot of guys, X number of older guys that would, you know, they would try to quote unquote get at her. Excuse that language. That's just what we say.
Okay.
Even in her later years, but she was she was so how do you say, just kind of I don't know. She was streetwise in her own way, right? She said these guys, they ain't looking for nothing but a nurse and a purse.
A nurse and a purse.
You ain't bringing that to the table physically, so you looking for a nurse, and then you ain't taking your money, and she has, and you looking for a purse, right?
I love it. Well, that's the reality for some. You know, generality is never the reality, but for some, a nurse in a purse, she's right on, spot on. You know, so I'm really glad. Thank you so much, buddy, ma'am. So yes, whatever you like.
Mm-hmm. A clear understanding dot institute. That's good enough. And then you know, find me on Facebook, on YouTube. You'll find your way to me.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that for Saturday, if you miss his kutbah, he's very modest. He's not going to say, but I will say it. He always has his kutbah, and because he lives on the left coast, as I said, the west coast, they're the last time in the continental USA, and sometimes I'm able to catch his kutbah on Friday if we don't go out for lunch to eat. But you can always catch it each and every Saturday morning. If you are on the East Coast, it starts at 11 a.m. in the morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And of course, it's 8 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And if we got some Rocky Mountains there, then that's 9 a.m. It's an excellent production. He does a replay of the kutbah, and you know Imam Shuaib does, you know, series. He's on an outstanding series in How You Build Ummah, and he's on the last of that in terms of prophet. But it's an excellent production, and of course you can chime in at area code 319-527-6176. And once again, that's 319-527-6176. And tune in and listen in. You can learn a lot from listening to a clear understanding. I want to thank you so much, Brother Imam. Any parting remarks that you'd like to make? You can at this time.
Trust in Allah and obey, mashallah. Yes.
Alhamdulillah, ameen. All right, Brother Imam, well, you know, it's been quite some time since you've been here with us on IWDM Radio. You do have an open door policy here. And we, you know, we'll be calling you back at a future time and come back with us. And we appreciate you sharing your insight and wisdom all the time, regardless of whatever the subject is. You always lend to us some valuable contribution in helping us in this sacred institution of marriage. Thank you so much. And Karan, I know
that you
would like to thank you, Brother Imam.
I appreciate you so very much. And I think tonight was just a treasure chest bursting open. And I just want, if Yolanda's listening, if not, please let her know. We do pray that she gets better, but we do want her on before we finish this True Love Recipe.
Yes. So see if we can get her before we finish the True Love Recipe and all. That would be really be a great benefit and all. So we make dua for her, that she does feel better and everything. But I think you represented well. I think she'd be very proud of you.
I did. It was special to have her. No, the issue is not that she was ill. It was that there's a scheduling conflict ultimately that came up.
But okay.
We don't want people to do ours.
Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah, inshallah, we'll try again before we, as we have, I don't think we even got halfway through this yet. So, inshallah, we'll try another time, and hopefully, inshallah, that, you know, it won't be a conflict in terms of the scheduling and everything. But we really appreciate you tonight and what you gave to us tonight. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And inshallah, if I'm not tuned in this Saturday, most certainly next Saturday, I'll be tuned back in. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless
you.
And assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So,
Yes, I want to thank our listening audience for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. And if you did, we ask you to tell a friend. And if you have not already, go ahead and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. If you have any questions, recommendations, comments, please email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. It has been a joy and a pleasure. And I am going to turn it back over to you, Mike, for our closing remarks.
Alhamdulillah, I can hear it in your voice. I want to echo all the Quran Shakir has said. I want to thank our radio listening audience, because without you, there couldn't and wouldn't be IWDM Radio, and you wouldn't hear productions such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank Quran Shakir always for her insight and wisdom that she shares each and every Thursday with us, and a special, 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 special thank go to our brother, our friend, Imam Fahim Shuaib, one of our very scholarly, learned imams and a forerunner, giving us information in terms of the sacred institution of marriage, and we really appreciate him greatly. We want to also, before I give this announcement in terms of other productions, that next week on work will be L4. It will be loyalty. It will be listening. It will be learning with each other. And 4 is laughter. So that's loyalty, listening to each other, learning together, and last but not least, laughter. Would those 4 things be in your true love recipe? Think about it and all, and we want to give you some homework. You might want to reference the Quran and see what Allah says in regards to these things and for the life example of the Prophet. So the beat goes on. Tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. And if you're immobilized, can't get out and about, come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail Sahir. That begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production happens on Sunday. Words Make People. Once again, the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. My good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. Yes, he hosts a show called ABC. That's Al Islam-based conversation. Relatively a new production, a little over 2 months old. But please tune in. It happens each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The very distinguished thing, Rashid Salam. He hosts an outstanding production along with his honored guest that returns each and every Tuesday on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab And that happens each and every Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, is 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And by the way, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, his wife is going to be our honored guest next week. We already got it confirmed. They're going to be with us next week. And Wednesday is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that was Dr. Patricia Slaudine. That's our host. And she joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it starts each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. We're looking at maybe have a double header, some representatives from this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. We're looking for them to join us. We're looking for the director of the DNA that will be happening in Inkster, Michigan, in which I'll be going there. Imam Munir Muhammad should be joining us also on the MGM Roundtable. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Central, and it is 5 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And you just heard it live tonight, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed hosts, Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed, and our special guest tonight, Imam Fahim Shuaib. Also, for those of you who tune into IWDM Radio, we're looking to have a special, special guest that last Wednesday of the month, I think it is August the 30th, if I'm not mistaken, August the 30th, and she doesn't give very many interviews. She's a little shy, but I call her our entertainer extraordinaire. That's none other than Suar El-Amin. She has agreed to give me the privilege of interviewing her as they are touring around the country. And those who've been in this community know she's an outstanding entertainer in this community. Last but not least, make sure you keep up your Muslim Journal subscription. And also, please go to this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful and register. You want to be there. So with that being said, until next time, Islam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.